And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That wasn't pretty, but we'll take it. We won 2 out of 3, and now we move on. We have to address a lot of stuff. We know that. We've been saying that over the course of the first month. And for us to get to where we want to go, we have to be a lot better. And today was a reminder that, yeah, we have a good team. We know where we're at. We know how many wins we got. But at the same time, we must keep working because the same way we went, we were hot in April, we can go the other way around if we don't keep working and keep getting better.
I'm not much of a singer, Matt McCarthy, but flying high in April, shot down in May. Is that what we're looking at here with the Red Sox?
Something like that.
617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Hour. And as luck would have it, we had half-hour shows all week long. All week long, Jimmy Stewart. Half-hour shows all week long. We get to Friday, we get a full hour.
But we have Matt.
We do. We have Matt McCarthy, which makes it much more palatable.
Trying to be positive. First place Boston Red Sox, Tony.
And so that's honestly, that's where we're going to begin. And 617-779-0985. And it's our first, honestly, it's our first real opportunity this week to sort of just dig in a little bit. It's only an hour show. And this week we had, again, 4 half-hour programs. So it was really hard to sort of wedge in any sort of significant discussion about the Red Sox and where they are. And they have not played well of late. So let's begin by asking this question, okay? How do you feel about the team right now? And when I say that, I mean as both a fan, you know, on the field, right? In terms of what the team has done on the field, obviously. But also whether or not the Red Sox have regained any of the quote-unquote buzz that has surrounded them, you know, even as recently as a couple of years, 3 years ago. Let's go back to 2018. I thought it was really important for them in the beginning part of the year to get off to a good start, to reel people back in. I think because honestly, I felt that they had lost people. I didn't say they were at risk of losing. I felt that they had already lost. And so the question was, could any of those people be brought back? And so I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, if Billy Lanny wants to chime in, we'll welcome him in as well. But we'll start with you, Matt McCarthy. Do you feel like people have engaged with this Red Sox team yet this year, for lack of a better word?
Absolutely. I think the Red Sox have done a good job getting people back. I think they've done a good job putting a good product on the field on a night-in, night-out basis that people are generally enjoying. That doesn't mean it's all perfect, but I think people have really dug in and sunk into this Red Sox season in a way that they haven't in at least 3 years, Maz. I mean, 19, they got off to a bad start. Bruins Cup run, forget about it. You know, last year, I mean, COVID year, nobody was paying attention. People are invested in this Red Sox team, which is a good thing.
See, I don't.
Really?
I don't. I don't think people have come back yet.
I mean, it's not 2004, Maz, but I think people have come back, you know, in a certain way to the, you know, to the game, the sport, just a little bit.
Yeah, so here's what I'd tell you, Matt. And again, if you have a thought on this, I'd love to hear from you. Because frankly, if you're one of those people that has been brought back, I would love to hear from you. Convince me otherwise. I feel like they've regained some of the people that they lost last year. But honestly, last year was such a bad year. I think they almost couldn't help but bring back some of those people. But if you were to say to me, are they at the same point they were at the end of 2019 even? My answer is no. No, I think it's going to take a lot more than this. And I think that that is something that at least I have learned, or we have learned here in the early part of this year. Because everything you just said about the team, Matt, honestly, I think is pretty accurate. I think that they've been pretty entertaining. The last week has been tough because the opponents have been garbage. Those two games against the Mets were pretty good.
Yeah, they were awesome, weren't they?
Those were worth watching. Those were good games. 2-1, 1-0. And I said this earlier today. I disagree with Felger on the 1-0 game. He thought, well, 30 strikeouts took 2 hours, 58 minutes. And, you know, you got a Whitlock and Barnes. You know, I get the idea of DeGrom striking people out. And again, he's not wrong to say that. I happen to think that Barnes and Whitlock are strikeout pitchers.
Yeah.
DeGrom's a strikeout pitcher. And so I thought that was a fun game to watch because I thought the pitchers dominated that game, and I like a game like that. I'll take a game like that over a game like yesterday every single time.
Oh, any day of the week. That was brutal. I mean, that was as bad as baseball gets yesterday. That series, Maz, we're all worse for having experienced it.
Well,
and we really, we are. The game is worse off. I am worse off personally having, you know, sunk my teeth into that a little bit yesterday. That was horrible. That was horrific. And listen, those things happen over the course of 162. Baseball can't fix that. But on the whole, the grand scheme of things for the first month plus of this Red Sox season, I think it's been a pretty good product. And I think people are they're not obsessed with it, but I think they're into it to a certain extent.
Okay, so again, I'll tell you that I agree with the pretty good product part. I find the Red Sox fairly entertaining. I mean, I find them entertaining. Not fairly. They're entertaining. They're good to watch. I like the team. I like the way they play when they're playing well. The last week, they have not played well. They've played two wretched opponents. And I think that that is factored into sort of maybe the blasé feeling I have, or the malaise, if you want to call it that. And so, you know what? The thing that is striking is that they have the best record in baseball.
It's amazing, isn't it?
The Red Sox have the best record in baseball. They're 3-4. In the last week against the Rangers and the Tigers. And the Tigers are wretched. And the Red Sox had to grind for those wins, which to me is a bad sign. I feel like the pitching's about to go sideways. It actually has already started that way. They've made one trip through the rotation now where the team ERA is about 7. So I feel like the quality of play on the team is slipping. And you heard Cora there at the beginning of the show, you know, chuckling about the win yesterday and said, well, it wasn't pretty, but it's a big league win and we'll take it. Now they go to Baltimore. And, you know, I kind of dumped all over the Orioles at the beginning of the year. You know, they're 15-16.
Yeah, they're not too bad. They're at least competitive.
I mean, they're a reasonably competitive team. And the whole AL East is really kind of clustered together. So I'm starting to think that Cora was right about that. But I really am interested in primarily how people feel about the team. And so I want to know if you feel more like Matt. And, you know, getting sucked back in. And Matt is a big baseball fan. Again, he's a rarity in this era. Someone who, how old are you?
29.
Okay,
almost 30.
Someone under the age of 30. So that's good. I can get away with that. Someone under the age of 30 who's still very much interested in the game. And I'm obviously in the demo. You know, I'm in my early 50s now. And I've always been a baseball follower. So I find the team entertaining. I wasn't asking for much here in the early part of the year. But I think there are a lot of people that just aren't there yet for an assortment of reasons. And I'll tell you what my theories on that are. But we'll take a couple of calls first is what we'll do. Again, 617-779-0985. And we'll start with our buddy Tom in Quincy, who's you know, regular caller here on the station. Tom, what do you got, pal?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I know I was trying to get you guys early, but I knew you weren't going to get to this because no one really gives an F about Brandon Workman.
Yeah.
But I actually... That move kind of intrigues me a little bit, because the fact that they traded him away and they got Pivetta and Conocebo for him, and to get him back for nothing, especially based on the fact that Josh Taylor and Austin Bryce are, a lack of a better word, absolutely suck. So, I mean, I'm hoping that Workman comes back. I mean, he was a pretty solid pitcher for the Sox while he was here. You know, he's a mid 4.5 ERA guy. Once he left and he went to the National League, I mean, I think his ERA between Philly and the Cubs is floating around almost 7. So to get him back on a minor league situation, I hope to Christ that means that one of those guys, if not both, can be out of here. I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
No, so I understand.
I have a wish list, though, and I want that to happen. So let's see what we got.
So look, Tom, this is the kind of thing that a team has to do. I was going to say a small market team, but a team has to do when they need pitching talent and they're not necessarily going to trade for it. So I'll tell you what, let's put the Workman thing aside for the moment, Matt. We'll get to that in the next segment. But Tom's been waiting there for a while, so I wanted to bring him in. But let's go to Aaron, who's in a car on buying in this year. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, guys. I'm starting to buy in a little bit, but I'm probably like everybody else. I got to see him play against a really good team that's got playoff caliber players, Yankees, somebody like that. If they're still playing good ball around the All-Star break, I can see getting back to where I'm usually at, fully invested in the Sox. Or if Henry decides to make a move, and get a big name player who's showing me that they're going to go for it. But till then, I'm just happy to go to Fenway.
Hey, Aaron, don't hang up. Aaron, don't hang up. Just quickly, are you a fan of the other teams in town? Like, do you have a pecking order that one team comes first?
Usually it's Red Sox, Patriots, Bruins, and the Celtics.
Okay, so Red Sox come first. So that's what I wanted to know, is where you put them and whether or not you were distracted by the other teams. Before you say anything, Matt, let me bring in Bob from Methuen, because he has an interesting reason for why he's not really buying back in yet. Bob, go.
Hey, Tony, here's my thing. I'll buy back in when someone buys out John Henry.
Okay, so Bob, I saw that in your comment line. So let me ask you this. If a new owner buys the team and they suck, you'll buy in?
I would rather go back to being a fan of a team that's going through a rebuilding process than stay supporting John Henry.
Well, they are going through a rebuilding process.
Yes, I would rather go through that with a brand new owner. All of us have to go through
I want to understand. So you put your distaste for the owner ahead of the product on the field? Like, if they were good right now, you wouldn't watch because of the owner?
Correct. I will not buy tickets again as long as John Henry's the owner of that team.
Okay, so look, Bob, it's your opinion and you're entitled to it, but honestly, I think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, well, you know what, Tony? If they have their luxury tax, I have my luxury tax. That the whole thing with Betts should never have happened. This idea that the Boston Red Sox are picking up players off the scrap heap.
The whole thing with what shouldn't have happened?
Betts, Mookie Betts.
Oh, with Betts.
Betts. Never should have happened. They just sold 10% of the team for $750 million, Tony. They easily could have afforded Betts. That was the rules. They never even attempted to sit down and negotiate seriously with Betts at all.
Okay, so Bob, honestly, look, I'm going to let you go because you just don't stop talking. And you're entitled to believe that. I don't think Mookie Betts wanted to be here. That's my two cents. So, and then he goes to the Dodgers, and before he plays a game with them, signs a $373 million extension, or whatever the hell it was, when he said he was going to go to free agency. So, look, you can believe what you want, and you can blame it on the owner, too. Again, you're entitled to do whatever the hell you want. But any fan that stops watching a team because of the owner, like, I just question whether or not you're really a fan of the team or you're just looking to make some sort of statement, you get some sort of axe to grind or some grudge or whatever. I mean, if you like the sport and you like the team, then you watch. I have never once, I mean, I bitched about ownership, but I've never stopped caring or gone on some sort of strike because of ownership. Now, if you don't like the way the team is run, and maybe that's what you're getting at. Well, that's sort of a different thing, but I would tell you that. Okay, so you have a problem with the money they spent then. So it's purely about the Mookie Betts thing when they've had what? One of the highest payrolls in baseball over the last 20 years? They got to be in the top three there. So is the issue the money they spent, or are you just pissed off solely about Mookie? So I don't get the argument. That's all. It doesn't make sense to me. If you take it that personally, I think something's wrong with you, if you want to know the truth. And I don't mean to be that negative and bitter, but holy crap. You're entitled to do what you want to do. But then, you know, I just think you look at what you want to do, Bob. And look, I also have the experience of having heard you call into the show on other topics. It feels to me like you're always angry about everything. Not that I should be calling anyone out on that. Heaven knows. Holy smokes. Matt McCarthy, would you ever stop watching a team because you don't like the owner?
No. And listen, I've criticized John Henry. I mean, I think he has other interests, clearly. The European, the Super League and all that. I mean, I have said I would like to see John Henry sell the team because it just doesn't feel like he's as invested in the Red Sox as he once was, which is fine. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching the Red Sox and stop caring about the Red Sox because I think John Henry is pushed back from the table, you know, when it comes to the Red Sox and has other interests. I'm not going to take it that far. I mean, my God, you know, I still love the Red Sox, and if the owner is going to drive you that far away, he hasn't done anything to drive you that far away, I'm sorry.
Who likes any owner? Who likes any owner? Nobody likes any owner ever. Ever. You don't relate to them. I don't. You probably hate the owners of the other teams, too. I really question whether you're a sports fan, if you want to know the truth. Not to go on and on. McCarthy's got some other things he wants to visit.
I like the Celtics owner.
So how are those tickets treating you, Jimmy? You getting close?
We'll see come playoff time.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's a good point. Jimmy does get playoff tickets from the Celtics. I don't know. That guy pisses me
off. I'm a big fan.
In all seriousness, that guy pisses me off when he calls sometimes. Because I just sense he's just looking for an argument. Like, and I don't know, maybe he'd be a good talk show host.
It's the tone of the show, Tony.
Yeah.
It's more a you problem than the caller,
I think. It probably is, Jimmy. It probably is. I can't say that that's necessarily wrong. There is some good that has happened with the Red Sox in the early part of this year for those that are paying attention. We'll get to that next.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
New name, same old Mass.
I know that's a big word the Red Sox like to use.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Our shortstop, this is a 1,000 game in the big leagues, and that's how he goes with him, right? He fouls one off of his foot, and then he gets a single, and he's diving all over the place. It's a grind with him, and, it would have been better a 10-0 game, but it's kind of like a reflection or of who he is, how he grinds, and we got one like that today.
Alex Cora talking about Xander Bogaerts, who's on a hot streak right now. I'll just say this quickly because we want to get right back to your phone calls. I was looking this up today. Bogaerts right now is playing like an MVP. And I don't mean, look, we're 30 games into the season. I'm not telling you we're having that discussion yet. I'm just telling you his quality of play is that high right now. And I looked this up. Ever since Alex Cora became the manager, do you know that Xander Bogaerts is ninth in the majors in OPS?
I can believe it.
Among players with 1,500 plate appearances, okay? And when I draw that line, that's regulars. Regulars. Ninth. And you say, all right, well, ninth. That means there are eight guys better. He's the only middle infielder in the group. Okay, which means you could argue right now he's the best middle infielder in baseball. So Fernando Tatis Jr. would have something to say about that in San Diego. Younger, more explosive, more talented. I think Tatis is an absolute dynamo. I love the guy.
Love watching him play. He's so good.
But Bogaerts right now, Bogaerts is playing as well as any middle infielder in the game. He's absolutely terrific right now. And you asked me how I would describe Xander Bogaerts, and I would tell you Patrice Bergeron. Okay, that's what he is to me. Consummate pro, does everything, solid player, probably not as good defensively as a Bergeron is. Bergeron's a more complete player, but you get the idea. Leads by example, keeps his mouth shut. Has he ever done anything to piss anybody off?
No, except John Farrell. There was an Instagram picture about 5 years ago, six years ago, really pissed Farrell off. Other than that.
Well, I want to know more about this.
You remember this? Bogaerts, this is probably his second year in the league. Or so. He tweeted out a picture or Instagram, whatever, social media of a scantily clad young woman. Really, really crawled up Farrell's tailpipe. Brought Bogaerts into the office. Just, reamed him out like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Oh, yeah. This is about 2014. He was young. He was 22 or whatever. It was right after the World Series.
Oh.
It was the next year. I don't think those two ever saw eye to eye.
Well, that was the end of John Farrell. There you go, right there as we know it. In any case, we've spent, we'll have to get more into that at another night. I want to know more about that, Matt. I don't think I'd ever heard that.
I haven't told you that one before.
No, but that's good. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I've mentioned that on these airways before. Oh, trust me. I think there was a disconnection between John Farrell and Xander Bogaerts.
I knew.
Oh, yeah.
No, that I knew. I didn't know about the Instagram thing.
I think it goes back to 2014 with that thing. I mean, again, he made a mistake. He tweeted something out, Instagram, whatever, that he shouldn't have put out there. But I guess Farrell went off.
Now, how about that? Learn something new every day on this show, Jimmy. Don't you know that? Terrific. Cooper's in a car. I'm buying in on the Red Sox. Hey, Cooper.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on. Love the show. McCarthy, whenever you're on air, it's always good radio. Glad to hear you on. So this year, I've started to slightly buy back in. I vowed last year after Mookie got traded and they didn't invest in the pitching staff that I wouldn't watch. I feel like I know I'm not as weathered as some of you other New Englanders, you older guys who have seen a lot of defeats, but I feel like it's a hard time investing in the team knowing that I really don't think this pitching staff is going to be able to bring us across the finish line and make us a true contender. I don't know if I'm just being pessimistic or if that's something that you guys agree on. But,
well, yeah.
I love the show, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Cooper, thank you. And this is why we have Matt on the program, because he is passionate about the team and he is good on the air. So that's why he's here. Let's take a couple more calls before we reply. And I would just ask the callers, let's try to move quickly because I know there are a lot of you there. Josh is in Sudbury on buying in on this team. Go ahead, Josh.
Maz, real quick, love the show. You hit the nail on the head. This is about that caller from about 15 minutes ago. Oh, my God. What a sensitive baby on his John Henry take. I'll be quick. I'll say the exact opposite of him. You tell me what you think. I don't care about people's feelings. I don't care about John Henry. I don't care about the guy. I don't care who owns the team. I don't. I want a good team. I don't care if he sold a team to Hitler or Osama. I don't care. I want a good team. Thanks for the show, guys.
Okay, so look, I mean, I draw a line at certain people that I don't want owning the team. I don't know that I would go that far. So, you know, but I will say that at the end of the day, I really don't care about the owner. I do care about his money, and I care about him investing in the team. So I don't think Mookie Betts was, I think Mookie Betts had more to do with Mookie than it did with Henry. I could be wrong. Matt, how do you feel? Do you feel it was Betts or Henry or the team?
Oh, no, I think it was more the team. I think if the Red Sox had offered Mookie Betts what he was worth in the three seasons leading up to it, they lowballed him three offseasons.
They were behind it, no question about it.
And I think if the Red Sox offered him fair market value, then we see if he stays, you know, and then if they offered him to that and then he rejected it, then you say he doesn't want to be here. I just don't think we ever got that answer, Maz, because I don't think the Red Sox ever gave him the opportunity to say no. Of course he was going to say no when you're offering 5 for $100 when he's worth 8 for $200. Of course he's going to say no when you're offering 8 for $200 when he's worth 10 for $300. Like, of course he's not going to accept that contract. So I don't think we ever found out the answer with Betts. I firmly believe that.
So you might be right. I think there was more going on there than we know publicly. And I think that just look at how Mookie has behaved out in L.A. And I say behaved. He looks like a happier guy. He's doing way more publicly than he did here. I just think he didn't like Boston. He didn't want to be in Boston. And again, he has that right.
Right, but you give him 13 for 365, maybe he likes Boston a little bit more.
How do we know they didn't?
I don't think they did.
Okay, I don't know. I have different theories on that. I don't think he wanted to be here. Just quickly, a couple of quick calls. Jim in Boston on the Red Sox and ownership. Go.
Yeah, the whole John Henry point. If it was Belichick and Kraft, people would not be slandering the guy. I don't like him. He's tone deaf to the Boston fans. But tell me five better ownership groups than the Sox in the last 20 years. They've been good. If you want to buy into the team or not, it's your own deal. But Mookie didn't want to be here, so they traded him. They got what they could. And Henry spends a lot of money. He sucks. You don't like him, but so be it. That's it. They, you know, get over it.
Yeah, thanks. So, Jim, listen, again, you don't have to like the owner. Bob Methuen's entitled to dislike the owner. I just think he's lying, or he's lying to himself when he says that's why he doesn't watch. I think that's a lie. You want to tell me you don't believe in the pitching staff like a caller two calls ago? That I get. I have a hard time buying in because I don't think they're championship caliber. We're spoiled now. I get that. Makes sense. Brendan's in Groton. Quickly, Brendan.
Hey, I'm actually on the side of Bob and Methuen.
Okay, go.
I couldn't believe what happened with Mookie, and they're just so cheap. And, you know, there's a lot of high school age kids my age that are in the same boat as me. I will not be returning to Fenway Park until they...
Brendan, how old are you?
19.
Okay, so thank you for the call. And I would tell you that you don't have perspective on cheap. You don't. Bob and Methuen does, which is why I'm angrier at him than at you. You don't have perspective on cheap. They didn't lose Mookie Betts because they're cheap. They spend money out the nose. They spend it poorly, or have spent it poorly. That's a fair criticism. But cheap was 25 years ago.
Yeah, Yawkey Trust.
When the Red Sox had $50 million payrolls. See, guys your age don't know that, and that's okay. I'm not blaming you for that, because, again, how could you? You didn't live it. So, but you don't have any understanding of what cheap is. They're not cheap. You call them a lot of things. You can say they're stupid with their money. They've made bad baseball decisions. All true. All in play. The cheap thing I kind of roll my eyes at because I think it's lazy. I think it's simple. And they're not cheap. I just think it's factually wrong. So that one, and really it's the laziness of it that pisses, yeah, they let Mookie go, they're cheap. No, it's really not that. Maybe they have some stupid philosophy about not wanting to give guys 10 or 12 year contracts. Maybe they're right not to. Maybe Mookie was an exception. Whatever it is, just don't say cheap. Cheap is lazy. It's lazy. They're not cheap. Stupid, maybe? I don't even think they're stupid, but you want to say they've made stupid decisions, fine. But the cheap one goes right at my tailpipe. I just, because it's lazy. It's simply not true. McCarthy's got your headlines here, and then we come back. He's got issues with other people in the organization. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And Soto deals. And he puts it in play.
I'd like to tell you the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Tigers. I really feel like the Tigers gave 2 of 3 to the Red Sox.
So bad. That was some awful baseball.
It really was. It was horrible to watch.
As I said, we're all worse off for having experienced it.
Now, look, again, I'm glad the Red Sox won it. I'm glad they took 2 out of 3, and it is a credit to their ability to grind. They were down in that game late, and they hung in there and let the Tigers puke on themselves. So, but I'm under no illusion about how well they've played. And again, if people want to say that they're not buying into this team because you don't think that they're that good and it's really all that sustainable, that I get. I mean, I sort of agree with you. I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised at, you know, the fact that they've been as competitive as they've been and they've won and they've been entertaining. And I like all that. And Bogaerts is playing out of this world. So that I like. But if you want to tell me where's it going to go and why should I invest, I sort of get it, which brings us to the general manager, the roster building, things of the like. And I know, Matt, that you have some issues with the way the team is sort of being run at the moment.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox are you know, successful so far this year, Maz, in many ways, in spite of Heim Bloom. I mean, the players who are carrying them, the vast majority of those players are guys that Bloom did not bring in. Bogaerts, Vasquez, Martinez. Now, Verdugo, you know, I'll give him, you know, credit on that, but Devers, Evaldi, Rodriguez, Barnes, the core of the team.
They were all here.
They were all here beforehand. And the guys that Bloom has brought in, for the most part, outside of a few, you know, Pivetta has been decent, you know, all that, outside of a few here and there, but the vast majority of them, oh, Maz, they're a problem. They're not good. I mean, you look at the bottom of this lineup, Hernandez, I don't think has been a great leadoff hitter by any stretch of the imagination. Renfro, Cordero, Gonzalez, who's leading off tonight. The role players that Bloom brought in, the guys that he was tasked with in supplementing the core of this team, I think for the most part he's swung and missed in a big way. Now, the good news is that's fixable. That's addressable. You can go out and get a platoon outfield bat at the deadline. I just hope he does. I hope he takes a long, hard look at this team and realizes that he's left them short. The guys that he's brought in, for the most part, a big-time swing and a miss. I think it's fair to criticize him for that.
Oh, I don't think you're wrong. I think their core guys have been the reason they're in it. I mean, they're all
money. They're carrying them.
Yeah, they're all, you know, I call them, you know, I would say money guys. They're not all making a ton of money, but they're all guys that predated Bloom in the organization.
With the exception of Verdugo, we'll give him that.
Yeah, no, Verdugo, right. Yeah. Verdugo's his guy. I'll give you that one. That's it. And look, Whitlock to a degree, but he has pitched in largely inconsequential situations. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been a couple of games he's gotten in there and had a significant role. And I like the Whitlock pickup, so I'll give him credit for Whitlock at the end of the day. But the reason they're winning is that meat in the middle of the order and the guys at the front end of their pitching staff who are making money. And those were guys that predated Bloom. Benny in the South End on whether or not you should buy in on this team this year. Go ahead, Benny.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I haven't seen them compete for so long, so I'm just happy to see them compete. I don't really care that much about who the owner is because I don't understand what they really do. As long as they're rich and they know how business work, I'm not going to complain too much.
Benny, quick question. Do you watch the games?
I have been lately, the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm asking because I think that's really the measure. Do you make time to watch the game? And the TV ratings are okay. You know, they're getting between a 3.5 and a 4. Last year, they were way lower than that by the end of the year. I think they were in the two range.
Minuscule.
But they're not where they were at the end of 2019. And so, and that's when the hit really started. So I just don't, I don't think that that people have come back. And I think it's going to take a while. And again, if you, you know, the Bob and Methuen call about, I don't watch because I don't like the owner. I mean, come on. Really? So what, you like Jeremy Jacobs? Do you watch the Bruins? You know, what are we doing? Is that really it? Like, that just feels to me like misguided. There's, I think you want to take it out on the owner, but I don't think that's the real reason you're not watching. Matt's in Sudbury. Matt, go.
Hey, guys. Is there a time when a ground ball is hit to Devers that you feel confident that an accurate throw is going to be made?
No.
With the game on the line against the Tigers, to get out of the inning, you get an inning double play gifted to you, and he throws it down the right field line. That's what's driving me nuts. You asked at the beginning of the program how I feel about them leading the league. It's when you get that coming on to get out of the inning and save the game, it's driving me nuts. So I would say that I'm annoyed. And on following the team, I'm 28 years old. I've been a baseball purist since I was four. What's getting me back into the game is seeing the pitching start to improve. There's no hitters. There's DeGrom mowing people down like there's no tomorrow. It's great to see, you know, pitchers going deep in the game again. That's all I got.
Okay, so Matt, I would tell you, look, I mean, I like good pitching as a rule. I tend to look at the game through the eyes of the pitcher. That's where I start. A lot of people don't start that way. I had a debate with Theo Epstein about this years ago, and he said, you know, people say pitching's 70% of baseball, whatever number you want to throw on it. He said, I don't believe that. You know, I don't subscribe to that. I sort of do. I mean, I don't want to say it's 70%. I mean, you know, it's at least half the game in my mind. And so I look at the game through the eyes of the pitcher and how you should execute. And then if you make mistakes, it opens the door for people to hit you. And you're going to make mistakes. And I like good pitching as much as anybody. But the problem now is that the hitting blows. Mm-hmm. Like, you need balance, Matt. You need balance in the game.
Oh, without a doubt. I also think that, here's the thing, it's not just the elite pitching that's so good, Maz. You know, opening day, I was watching the Yankees and the Blue Jays. And the fifth guy, I kid you not, the fifth guy who came out of the bullpen for the Blue Jays was throwing 99 with a nasty slider. And I'm like, move the mound back. Move the mound back, because that's not the ace pitcher anymore. This is the fifth guy out of the bullpen, and he's dominant. Nobody can hit him. I think the game has become unbalanced. I, like you, like it when there's good pitching in baseball. I think that's the best version. That, you know, the 2-1 baseball game, I think that's awesome. I think that's great. The problem is it's too imbalanced. I think the hitters, in some ways, are almost forced to swing for the downs because this guy's throwing 99 with a nasty split, and somebody else is coming out of the bullpen throwing 98 with a wicked slider. Like, you can't hit these guys anymore.
Yeah, we're not going to get three hits.
Right.
Right? We're not going to get three hits, so we got to play for the home run. And look, the idea of moving the mound back, I know Theo Epstein's talked about that. Move it back a foot.
I'm all in.
You know what? I'm leaning that way, too.
More contact.
Mark's in Washington on one of the metrics in baseball. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm not a nerd, but I think the most useless measurement that's entered the baseball lexicon is exit speed or exit velocity of a batted ball. I mean, Mookie Betts at one point had a home run that was measured at 89.5 miles an hour. Mike Trout hit one at 125. The average for Major League is 94. So what? Pitch velocity is one thing, but what does batted ball exit velocity add? Nothing, well, in my view.
Yeah, so Mark, look, I get what you're saying. Incredibly, now it's used as a metric to evaluate players, mm-hmm. right? So Franchy Cordero hits the ball hard when he hits it. He misses it most of the time, but when he hits it, you know, they equate exit velocity to high probability of a hit. Why they tell you after the ball is hit, I don't know. Like, so I don't know, maybe there is some evaluation benefit. I'd look at sort of, tell me what the frequency of the contact is and then what the velocity is, and I'll let you know whether it means anything. I mean, but I sort of go back to the old adage, just use your eyes. You'll know. Mm-hmm. Watch a guy hit. You'll know. You'll know whether he can hit or he can't. And I don't need the exit velocity, but it's a good point.
Jackie Bradley Jr. has a higher average exit velocity right now than Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, I mean, so again, who would you rather have?
Right.
Right? Not even close.
Fastballs, curveballs, and breaking balls. The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.